You're listening to the Simo and Jordan podcast. If listening persists, please see your therapist. Well, it's obviously too late for him. He's been listening far too long.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
And Simo, Sydney ferries, they're like iconic around the world.
You and I took a ferry ride together.
Did we?
Yeah, we did.
When we were in Sydney.
We had a couple of juices and went around the harbour.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Well, Simo, they are iconic around the world, and the New South Wales government has bought 10 brand new ones.
Okay, freshies.
Well, yes. However, when they have arrived, they've realised quite a major issue with the ferries.
Do they float?
No, they do float.
Okay, right. Check. Okay, that's checklist one. Checklist two is like motor. So can they?
Yep, that's fine.
It's got a motor. It floats.
They've ticked two boxes.
Don't know.
Box number three.
Yeah.
Is are they too tall to fit under several bridges?
Oh hell!
That was the box that remained unchecked.
That's awkward.
These ferries that will be travelling along the Parramatta River in Sydney.
Yeah.
Has been discovered that they are too big to fit under two particular. Bridges. Well, they can fit under the bridges, but they do have not with people on the top deck, if that makes sense.
Yeah, right. Oh, okay, right. Yeah.
So people can kind of go on the top deck of the ferry, sit there in the open sunshine as they go along the river. However, they won't be able to go under these two bridges if there are people in the top deck because the New South Wales Shadow Minister for Transport says, and I quote, they will be decapitated.
That's all good. Well, no, either that or it's a quick escape because you just like hop up. As you go under the bridge, be like, this is my stop. I just got to go up to the top deck and away you go.
I think the bridges are rail bridges as well, so whether you'd want to be able to somehow jump up and climb up the bridge.
So it's just a couple of bridges that they overlooked. It's not like, you know, this thing can still get under the Sydney Harbour Bridge. It hasn't got just like a...
Oh, yeah.
It's not got a really long flagpole and everyone's like,
Yeah, so it can still get under the Sydney Harbour Bridge. And I should say... It's not a flagpole that is stopping them from getting under these bridges on the Parramatta River. Otherwise, it's just like, oh, let's get rid of that 20-metre high flagpole. No, it's not that. It's the actual ferries do not fit under the bridge. Because, Simo, these ferries, the government haven't said how much it costs, but I imagine ferries don't come cheap.
Now
they're kind of like, oh, God, what do we do with them? I don't know. Maybe when the kids can go up on the top deck because they're shorter.
Yeah, what's the resale value of a ferry? Like, as soon as you... Because you know how they always say whenever you buy a car, as soon as you drive it out of the yard...
It goes down a lot.
Yeah, is it like by half? Is that the saying?
Well, I don't know.
So what's the deal? What do you drive a ferry out of when you purchase it?
Well, that's a good point. there's not many ferry car...
Like, ferry if they haven't set. Put it in the water, I assume it's still in good nick.
It has been in the water, though.
Rookie move there again.
Simo, let me just have a look on eBay. Let's see if I can find a ferry.
The resale value of a ferry.
Let's have a look. Ferry. Not weirdly, you can't buy a ferry on eBay.
Actually,
I'm shocked.
Here we go. Well, there's a lot of celebrities in Byron Bay now.
Yeah.
Now, I've never been to Byron, but it's a bay, so you can. It's got water, right? Now, celebrities love super yachts, don't they?
Yeah.
Is that a well-known fact?
I would agree with that.
Well, we just send up the ferries and we cut rate price. You got at least three Hemsworth brothers that are there.
Zac Efron, supposedly.
Zac Efron as well. So there you go. Count them all out. Mm-hmm. Send them off to Byron and maybe be able to recoup some of that money.
Well, we'll get in touch with the Hemsworths, see if they want to buy a second-hand Sydney ferry. That comes complete with like 20 seats looking forward in a cafe.
Either that or the Byron Council. I reckon it would have a bit of a vibe, you know, because not everywhere has ferries. Mm. Sydney, where else? No, nowhere.
Good point.
Bit of a tourist thing, I'm just saying.
But does Byron have a lot of low bridges? Because in which case, then they're in trouble.
Right. Yeah, of course.
Simo and Jordan.
Simo and Jordan right here with you. And you informed me about something to do with golf that I never knew was a thing.
What was that? Because, Simo, I don't know a heck of a lot about golf.
The fact that people like the spectators and also the players, they like cheer for the ball to get into the hole.
Oh, yes, of course, yeah.
I never realised that that was a thing because unlike any sport, right, no one is cheering the ball.
So if you ever watch golf, when the player hits the ball and it's kind of getting close to the hole, the crowd will kind of cheer on the ball. They'll kind of get louder cheering.
Yeah.
And then there's some guy that will yell out, get in the hole!
Yeah, very odd. The fact that, no one in basketball is like cheering for the hoop.
You know, it's not,
it's not the same. It's like, get in the net. No, it's not.
Yeah.
It's not happening. And I heard it again this week.
Yeah.
In this particular golfing shot. Here he goes.
Hey, were you watching golf?
Well, I'll get to that, okay? His name is Mario Figuretti. Here he goes with his shot.
Get there. Get there. Get there. Get in the hole. Go in the hole.
What? What?
Rocco. Rocco, you just hit a hole in one. Rocco. You just hit a hole.
Now, that particular golfing audio, Jordan.
Well, Simo, I'm guessing it's not a professional tournament.
No.
You know, if no one's going, Tiger, you just hit a hole in one, Tiger. I'm assuming Rocco is perhaps a kid.
Rocco is 4 years of age.
Wow.
And he hit a hole in one on a like par three kind of like.
It's like a proper golf course.
Yeah, you're supposed to take three shots to get it in the hole.
Yeah.
4-year-old did it in one.
He's almost done it in as many shots as his age is. If the next hole's a par four and he gets it in four, it'd be brilliant.
Yeah, so he has completely shown up his dad there.
Yeah.
Naturally, he cannot believe what's just happened.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to get some kind of reaction from his son. And he doesn't say anything. He just walks off towards the hole because he's like, doesn't believe it. He's like, no. And he just, like, walks off to go find his ball, and the dad's just, like, lost his mind. Very enjoyable.
Get there.
Get there. Get there.
Get there. Get in the hole. Go in the hole.
What?
There it is.
Well, Simo, you said the kid just walks off to get the ball.
Yeah.
Maybe that's not what he's doing. Maybe he's just so amazing at golf, he gets holes in one all the time. So it's like no big deal for him.
Yeah, whatever.
He's like, oh, come on, Dad. I've already got four today. Let's just relax, mate.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
And Simo, want to talk about ScoMo, Scott Morrison.
With the Scotty from marketing, as also he has been termed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Also known as Scott Morrison, the... I said president, prime minister,
the fearless leader.
Look, I'm not a great on politics. I'm just going to put that out at the start.
He's a big fan of the Sharkies, right? Is that right? Is that the rugby team he's into?
I think Sharks. Yeah, it's the footy team he supports.
Just doing a shark.
I don't think the Sharks football team make that noise.
They should do that after they win. Just instead of getting around in a circle, and what's the one they normally do?
Go, they do a club song.
Yeah. What is it? Is it like...
I have no idea.
Is it? Do they hum the Great Escape because they're just like a terrible team?
I don't know. Look, I mean, I'll have a chat to the Sharks CEO, see if we can arrange that, but I don't think they do.
Angry Sharks fans, I look forward to your letters.
But Simo, the reason I want to bring up Scott Morrison is because he has gone viral for something that he posted on LinkedIn, of all things.
The hell?
He posted a picture of himself making a curry.
All right, hold up, back up. LinkedIn is the... social media that you use when you're looking for work.
Yep.
The Prime Minister of Australia has been on a platform that you use to look for a job.
You can go and follow him on LinkedIn if you really want to.
But what bigger job can he find in Australia than the one he's currently got, I ask you?
I don't know. Look, admittedly, there's probably not many.
Because they've just filled that the other biggest job in Australia, which is the head of TikTok in Australia.
That is a good point.
Maybe he was in the running for that, didn't quite get it.
No.
Mm.
Well, maybe he's in the running for, like, head chef. Because, you know, Gordon Ramsay's UK. Maybe he's going to become the Australian version of Gordon Ramsay with a curry that he posted on TikTok. However, Simo, this curry has gone viral because, well, it doesn't really look nice.
All right. It's one thing... That's another thing you don't want your curries to go.
Mm.
You don't want your curries... One thing you don't want your curry to be
viral. You don't
want
the results of your curries to go viral.
Yeah, you don't want a viral curry. Doesn't sound good in any way, shape or form.
Definitely not. Simo, you can go to Snow FM Instagram story, check out the picture of the curry and let us know whether you think it's yum or not yum.
Oh, delicious.
So ScoMo posted the picture of the curry online with the caption, "It's curry night, all Sri Lankan this time with a lamb budama." I hope I pronounced that correctly.
Right.
And like, Simo... Like, admittedly, okay, I'm, I'm not an expert on Sri Lankan cuisine. I'm going to preface that. And this curry was clearly in the cooking process, so it wasn't done.
Right.
But just at this stage, it just looks like a whole lot of crap in a frying pan.
Oh, well.
You know, it's a wok, actually. He's cooking it. It just looks terrible. So, Simo. ScoMo. Maybe not the best for the Australian version of Gordon Ramsay.
Well, who has hospitality and tourism? Who has that who has that cabinet? Who has that portfolio? Does anyone know?
You're asking 100% the wrong person.
Because he should invite them round to cook him dinner, because they probably have more of an idea about the ingredients.
I think ScoMo was the tourism
guy
at one stage, because he was the one who okayed the marketing campaign, Where the Bloody Hell Are You?
That's right. So maybe it didn't look great, but at least it was all locally sourced ingredients.
So that should be the caption. ScoMo's curry. Look, it doesn't look great, but it's all locally sourced.
Simo and Jordan.
Just hanging out, and is there anything that intimidates you? Like, what do you find intimidating? Things with scales?
Actually, you know what I find intimidating?
What?
It's the person who's looking at me to my right, to your left.
Actually, that's true. Very true.
Rachel G from Admin. She's very intimidating.
Yeah, there is a problem there.
I know. Look at her with that grey jacket.
Yeah,
I'm kind of scared already.
It's like I just hear that name and I shudder.
I know. Shiver goes down the spine of millions.
Rachel G from Admin. All right. So, according to linguistic experts...
Okay.
Full stops are intimidating young people.
Right.
Yeah, they're freaking them out.
Gotta be honest.
Yep.
Don't find full stops intimidating.
Oh, that little dot just creeping up on you in the middle of the night. Just little Jordan's trying to get to sleep under the covers.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there might be a full stop in the wardrobe.
Yeah, it doesn't really have the same ring to it as if Rachel G was in the wardrobe, because that would be terrifying.
Yeah, you call the police if that happens. But the full stops apparently have grown to become intimidating for young people who have grown up in the era of smartphones.
Okay.
So early 20s. We're talking the Zoomers, as I like to call them. Gen Z. Zooming around. They send short messages without full stops.
Right.
It's got to the point now when they do see a full stop, they're like,
oh, I see.
Ah, I must have done something wrong.
So they're just used to, because full stops, okay, now I can see what you mean.
Yeah.
Because full stops are whenever your mum or dad would text you and you're in trouble, they always end it with a full stop. So maybe you associate that with, oh, no, what have I done? I'm in trouble.
Also, it's very final, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like full stop.
This is the end. There is no more.
This is the end.
Yes.
There's no future here.
This is the end.
Yeah.
There is no possible way to continue this unless you start another sentence.
So apparently, if a teen gets a message with full stops at the end of sentences, he/she will think the sender was weird, mean, or too blunt.
Okay.
Yeah. So how are you texting? Are you a big full stopper?
Well, Simo, let me just... I've just got my phone here. Let's go back to the most recent text message that you sent me. And do you reckon it had a full stop or not?
I'm going to back myself and say, yeah, I think I do use them quite a lot.
Well, the most recent text message you sent me was a picture, so that doesn't count. But before that, the last one we text... yes, there is a full stop.
Yeah, see, I'm very grammatically, I'm on point.
And Simo, I didn't respond to that message now looking back on it.
Never.
Because
do.
I thought that you were very mean and...
You're so full of it.
What were the other words?
Blunt, too blunt.
Yes, Simo, you were too blunt.
I was a bit weird, man.
You said... can I say the text message you sent? You sent me a message that said, then cut it down into grabs from there. Full stop.
Yeah, do it.
That's very blunt.
It is very blunt. Could you just do it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Simo, stop being so blunt on text messages.
Why am I not surprised you turned this around on me?
Simo, I'm all of a sudden intimidated by you because your use of full stop and grammar.
That's it.
I don't like it. Go away. Go take your full stops with you.
The pen is mightier than the sword.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
And Simo, I want to talk about a story that happened in Florida.
Oh, yes. The good old, very special place over there in the United States.
Also, there's a game you can play. If you look up your birthday and it's like what happened in Florida, there's always a story and it's always a little bit crazy.
Yeah, I don't know if it's because they've got different reporting laws or like the police are busier there or just the fact they have greater access to gators. Seems like they've got greater access to things that are wild in general.
Simo, this story doesn't, I don't think it had anything to do with the police or alligators.
Wow.
But certainly consists of something wild.
Okay, yeah.
Simo, more than 750 genetically modified mosquitoes are said to be released in the US after being given the green light by the Florida Keys Mosquito Control District.
Okay, right.
Genetically modified mosquitoes.
Interesting. Most people had locusts on 2020 apocalypse bingo, but genetically modified mosquitoes are pretty close. I'm kind of inclined to give them that one.
Yeah, Simo, the aim of this is to see whether the genetically modified mosquitoes could offer an alternative to spraying insecticides and, like, sprays to get rid of them, to control another species of mosquitoes that carry deadly diseases such as yellow fever, Zika or dengue fever.
Yeah, because they also, I mean, they transit a lot of different stuff, like malaria as well in Africa, like mosquitoes, problematic. Yeah, right. So if you can't beat him, join him type scenario.
Well, Simo, I think the idea is obviously Florida has a lot of, like, swampy kind of area, so there's a lot of mozzies about. So they're kind of trying to get these genetically modified mosquitoes that don't carry these diseases in to see if they can sort of take over in a way from the mosquitoes that do carry the diseases.
Yeah, it's using their own strengths against them.
Many scientists have criticised the decision for various reasons, which are very legit, and that they could take over.
Introducing species is always problematic.
It's always a bit risky, but Simo, like, here's the thing, you kind of touched on it before, apocalypse bingo.
Yeah.
2020, it's been a bit of a crap year.
Yes. Yep.
Let's just, like, if ever there was a year where these genetically modified mosquitoes would go super wrong, somehow become giant and take over the world, 2020 is the year. Like, if that happened, if mosquitoes became the same size as humans and started killing people, it would barely make a mention on the news because there's so much other crazy stuff happening.
Very true.
People who are releasing genetically modified mosquitoes in Florida.
Yeah.
Let's just wait 6 months.
So you reckon what?
Wait till next year. And it'll be 2020s. We've had enough crazy stuff. Let's just wait until next year.
So January 2021, you're cool with?
January 1st, release the genetics modified mosquitoes. I don't have a problem.
It's like release.
Just not now.
It's like release the Kraken.
Release.
I all of a sudden feel like
the genetically modified mosquitoes.
I feel like the Wicked Witch from The Wizard of Oz. Fly, my pretties.
Simo and Jordan. This is the end, but only of today's podcast. And remember, don't move toward the light.
No, go toward the light.
No, don't go toward the light.
You've got to go toward the light.
Don't listen to him.
Yes.
Shut up.
Right.
To hear Simo and Jordan live, join them for Takeaway, on air weeknights from 7 across the Capital Radio Network.
Yeah, that should do it.